The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord. Our reading breaks into the middle of a context. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us that catalog of examples of faith from the Old Testament scriptures. It holds before our eyes the exemplary faith of many believers from the time before the coming of Christ. In the verses leading up to our reading, the writer of this letter to the Jewish Christians had discussed this list of Old Testament believers: Abel, son of Adam and Eve, the victim of the first act of violence of one human being upon another, but whose faith in the promises of God made his sacrifice acceptable to God. Enoch, whose faith in the promises of God led to his translation out of this life and into the next, without passing through the door of physical death. Noah, whose faith and obedience to the word of God led to the deliverance of himself and his family in the days of the great flood. Abraham, whose faith in the promises of God led him to leave his father's household and to go to the land that God would show him. And Sarah, who in her old age believed the promises of God and gave birth to a son and became mother of the line of promise culminating in the coming of the Savior. And then the writer, before he goes on with further descriptions of the list of the Old Testament faithful, he includes the words of our reading: these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's very clear from these words and from many places in the scriptures that there is a close connection between having faith and having hope. In this last week of the Christian church year, our attention is directed to that connection between faith and hope. In Jesus' parable of the five wise and the five foolish bridesmaids, the foolish were caught unprepared at that crucial moment of the arrival of the wedding party. Their lamps had gone out, they had no oil, their faith was depleted, and therefore they were left without hope. They banged on the door where the wedding celebration was going on, and they pleaded in desperation, "Let us in, let us in." And that most terrifying, hope-destroying, despair-generating answer came back from within: "Go away, I don't know you." When we try to conceptualize in our minds the nature of the place we call hell, what is it that first comes to mind? Well, oftentimes it is very physical images that portray bodily suffering having to do with unquenchable flames of fire. But the great Renaissance Italian poet Dante Alighieri captured an important and additional insight into the nature of hell by means of the inscription which he placed in his epic poem Over the Gate to Hell. It read, Abandon all hope, you who enter here. Hell is the place of total, utter hopelessness. It's really quite amazing what human beings can endure if they are sustained by hope. Human history is filled with inspiring stories of people who endured hardships of every kind, physical pain, mental anguish, spiritual turmoil, all because they had hope of something better to come if they could just hang on. I'm frequently reminded of what my ancestors endured in coming to the United States of America, because they had hope that something could be better for them and for their children than what they had known in the land of their origin. And so they packed a few possessions into a wooden box. They endured a miserable voyage in the stinking hold of a sailing ship. They walked several hundred miles across the prairies of the upper Midwest. They lived in the most rudimentary of shelters, ate the simplest food, worked until they dropped from exhaustion at the end of the day. Why? Because they had hope. Some of them did not live to possess the reality of what they had hoped for, but they were sustained to their end by their hope nonetheless. Now, if these things regarding hope are true in what we call the kingdom of the left, the kingdom of this world, they are all the more true in the kingdom of God. Concerning those who die in the faith of every era from Adam and Eve to the present, these words are true. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Christian gospel message reaches down to us mortals to lift us out of that despair, which is our lot and our condition. We are in that condition because that which is born of flesh is flesh. We were conceived and born in sin and are therefore under the wrath of God and doomed eternally. But God did something to break through the despair and to give us hope. He sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that work of salvation is now complete. It was finished in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God in human flesh. Now there is forgiveness and life. This gospel is the power of God for our salvation. It gives and creates faith, that miracle that says in response to these things, yes, that salvation which the Son of God acquired for the whole world is now mine by faith. And that faith gives hope. Even though we don't physically see and grasp right now the full reality of what God promises us, in faith we see it, and in hope we embrace it and anticipate its coming. And that faith and hope enable us to confess that here we remain strangers and pilgrims on a journey that may be long and on a route that may be challenging in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But a gracious God enables us to say from the heart, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let us all pray. Please rise for prayer. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of your last judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you forever hereafter, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.